Okay, joining us now from the Business for Doctors conference here in Sydney, we've got Dr. Elaine Sung from Doctors of South Melbourne. Now, I don't need to ask where your practice is located. Clever name, nice and simple. That's great.
Thank you. It was very purposeful. We knew that if people were going to come and find us, that everybody uses Google these days, we had to choose a name that was... quite clear, quite easy. And in many ways, you know, when you look at all the different generic names around there, we thought of sort of that the Doctors of South Melbourne also gave it a slightly sophisticated feel rather than, say, medical centre or family practice or something along those lines. It isn't when we didn't invent it. There are other doctors of various other suburbs all around the place. None of them are related. But we thought it would probably work.
Is there a Doctors of North Melbourne?
No.
Okay.
No, there isn't. Nor are Doctors of Melbourne. But there are other doctors of, like there's a Doctors of Ivanhoe. There's a few of them other worlds.
So, and how did you choose the site, South Melbourne? Was that somewhere that you live or you frequent or...
No, I chose South Melbourne through lots and lots and lots of boring research.
Fantastic.
So, I had always a very clear idea that I wanted a private, high quality, high care medical centre. Possibly because I know where my weaknesses lie, is that I'm actually a pretty slow doctor.
Right.
I'm going to always be the one that, you know, how do I describe it? Where you end up pulling on the string where you shouldn't.
Wow.
Somebody says, you know, I'm here for my pap smear, got a tear in the eye, you've got to say, well, what's going on? And
That's
then they
right,
start
yeah.
crying. So inevitably, I'm never the sort of the fastest doctor off the blocks.
Yeah. Well, so when you say slow, what you're saying is you take your time with your patients.
I take my time with my patients.
Fantastic.
I would say it's also something that I think patients appreciate. I think
Absolutely, they do.
They
when
really...
I say because I'm not a doctor, I'm a patient.
Yeah. So I think it's important to be able to take the time. And I think in this, you know, I'm never going to be in the race for bulk billing. I just would be bad at it. So I would never make enough money. So I thought, you know what? I think there is a value in having a clinic where we, you know, value slow medicine.
Yeah.
And because of that, we do need to charge a fee. There's no bulk billing at the clinic.
Yeah.
And so therefore I had to look at areas which I think could sustain a private billing clinic. Had to research where the clinics are currently, had to figure out, lots of different variables and finding a commercial space in the areas that I was looking at was actually really difficult.
Was it a quick process in the end?
It was a really long process. I would say probably I did too much analysis paralysis as well.
Yeah.
I probably looked for sites. I laugh. It was sort of off and on for about 3 years.
Wow.
But then ended up...
But you've hit the jackpot, haven't you?
When I first looked at this site, I thought, it's too small.
Right.
And now that I'm in the site, I will still say it's too small.
Which means you're growing as a business, which is great.
Which is good. But it was always, I knew that was my compromise. I was never going to get my perfect premises.
Because you have 4 part-timers there now, though.
Yeah, I do.
And you started with just yourself?
So there was me and 3 other part-timers, actually. How does that numbers work? Yeah, so me and 3 other part-timers. And now there's me and 4 others.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
And where do you find your doctors?
So we've advertised on both the RACGP website as well as there's a Facebook group called Australian GP Portal, I think, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And we actually found most of the doctors came through the RACGP website.
Mm. Now, let's just go back to the beginning for you. I mean, you are still in the beginning stages. I mean, you're not even 1 year old yet. Isn't that going to be fun, celebrating 12 months?
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait.
And it is a beautiful part of Melbourne as well. But so, basically, you were telling me that you were working for a practice as a contractor for 9 years.
Yes.
And somewhere in that, you were like, I've got to just, you know, branch out and go it alone. And a huge amount of courage.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'd always wanted to do this. From entering into medical school and all the way through, I'd always known that I wanted to have my own clinic. And then... You know, as you go through and you work at other places and you get an idea of the style of medicine you like to practice, you know, I'm quite opinionated. I actually get a strong opinion with regard to how I want the practice to look, the practice to feel, how the staff are trained, how everything.
You can't do that.
And you're sitting there going, you know, I really want to do Ferinject because, you know, my patients would love to have an iron infusion in the GP clinic without having to go to hospitals and all the rest of it, for example.
Right.
But I was in no position to change for that.
Now, I'm hearing of doctors going it alone. I don't know if that's the right term. Needing a second job to fund this. Did you have financial backing? How did you...
How did I do this? So...
It sounds like you're asking yourself.
No, I was like, oh my
God.
I would say that happily, because I'd been working for a number of years in private practice, I'd had some savings up my belt.
Right.
I would say I'm very lucky in the sense that, you know, I had a very frank conversation with my parents and said, if I go bankrupt, can I move in with you?
Yeah.
And my parents were amazing and said, you know what, we'll help you out if we ever needed to.
Yeah.
And so, and I'll also say, banks fall over themselves trying to give you money.
Is that right?
Absolutely. They turn up to your house in pairs, wearing suits, and schmooze all over you to try and give you money for this. It is just, I found it shocking and somewhat weird because I'm not used to, you know, I thought I'd be going around to the banks with my hands out going, please, I'm a really good candidate, I'm a really hard worker, but it was actually the other way around.
That's right, yeah. It is getting tighter. Home loans anyway. And so I guess this is where you would have got a lot of help from Business for Doctors. Is this where you sort of called on their expertise? I mean, they've just got a massive resource of people in finance advice.
Absolutely. You know, I sort of found myself trawling through past posts and, you know, even to this day, I reckon I don't really go on Facebook for much else, except I do make sure I check in on Business for Doctors at least every couple of days or so, just because there's so many nuggets of gold, not just in the finance area, but in so many different areas.
So what are some of the areas that I've managed to help you in?
I would say April has been fantastic with improving my billing. That's a GP-wide thing that
so
I would
say.
So
in what way? What sort of skills have you developed in billing?
I say that we're all really lazy billers.
Right.
We're very lazy billers in the sense that there are certain item numbers in general practice which we use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're our default item numbers. And you are busy and you don't think about all the other item numbers or anything else to go on by. And then, you know, I get on Business for Doctors and realize, oh my gosh, there is a post-pregnancy item number that I could have been billing all of these years and have never done it.
So forgive my ignorance, but this means that you can use that number and then it just gives you the right details and amounts and specifics.
So it means that Medicare will pay you for your post-pregnancy check as a separate amount, which means that you can actually then bill up multiple item numbers at the same time, so long as you perform the services. And I would say all doctors that do this actually perform the services and just don't get paid for it because we don't know the item number exists.
Yeah.
And so from a personal GP level, my income's definitely gone up. And so from that perspective, I'm always checking Business for Doctors. I'm always checking it for a lot of the practice owners have got, you know, fantastic nuggets of knowledge all the way
which is priceless.
You know, I can sit there and post, so what does everyone charge for their spirometry? And people respond within minutes.
Really?
And it's just this wonderful sharing of information to say, what do I do in this situation? I don't know. I've never done it. And I think one of my first questions on there was, should I go cloud versus server?
Mm-hmm.
And there was this torrent of absolutely amazing, great information, which basically gave me the answer of what to do.
And what was the answer on that one? I'm curious.
So,
was it cloud or was it server?
No, it was server. It was server was the conclusion.
Yeah,
and I was coming to that conclusion.
I don't trust the cloud.
Anyway.
I don't trust the cloud.
I think in the future definitely will be the cloud, but at the moment there's still too many hiccups going on.
Particularly
because, you know, a new clinic, didn't want to keep my costs low and being uncertain about my internet ability. Because that's obviously having to be on the cloud. You need to have amazing internet that's really secure and really, not secure, predictable.
Surely South Melbourne has good internet.
So we're not on the NBN.
Wow.
So I knew that. And so I did, I've got really good internet, supposedly with the ability to go to the cloud in the future because I had to I don't even know what it's called, but put it in place. That's something probably for the future, I suspect. Yeah.
So you just mentioned keeping your cost down. I mean, it looks like you're starting to turn a profit already, which is a pretty good
thing. Profit is a really strong word. So if I'm not turning a profit yet.
Well, it's only 7 months.
It's only 7 months. I have hit a milestone.
You don't look stressed. You just seem really positive.
I'm
like
so stressed. Get out.
That's why. That's honestly why I assumed that. Yeah, I just thought, you know what? I think this is going so well for you.
No.
So, in fact,
I forecasted that I wouldn't take a wage and it would cost me $100,000 in the first year. Okay, so that's how I prepared for that, absolutely factored everything else in, and now we are almost at a point where I can start taking a wage, which is amazing.
I thought you were going to say almost at a point where I can move into my parents' house.
I'm not moving into my parents' house.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of growing.
I suppose trying to figure out what your expectations are, and knowing that. If I am going to set up in a fancy pants suburb like South Melbourne, and things are going to cost a fortune, how long is it going to be before, you know, I can actually, you know, draw?
Yeah, so
income?
You're betting big and you'll win big. So
that's exactly right. Money, yeah. So, and you have to have, you know, a little bit of self confidence to know, you know what, I can. Tighten my boots. I can try to live lean for a while, so that eventually. The rewards will come, but it's been really stressful.
Are you coming up with new techniques so far, like new ways of bringing people in, or has any sort of business plans changed while you've been going through the beginning processes?
Possibly not. I would say we're sticking with the original plan. So the original plan always was to be quite heavy on the whole internet thing. So we've got a pretty good website. I think it's ranking quite well as far as an SEO perspective. We did a whole bunch of letterbox drops and meeting the local allied health staff. So I think this plan is actually working. And so we're going to continue along the same marketing plan.
Any just quick bit of advice for any young and up and comings who obviously they're at a conference and they are jumping online and hopefully listening to this podcast for any of them that are wanting to start out?
I would say where I felt what held me back was I did too much analysis paralysis. I didn't have enough self-confidence to launch. I didn't feel like I had enough skills. Despite everybody else around me, like partners and family saying, just do it. It took a lot of courage to actually take that first step and being able to say, you know what, you can do it. And probably what's helped me is to say, I am not the first person on this planet to open a GP clinic.
That's right, yeah.
Plenty of other people have done it before me. Plenty of people have made a really, you know, successful career out of it. I can do it too. I'm hardworking. I'm willing to chuck it in. So why can't I do this? Whereas I think before I very much was just analysing to death everything. And I would say that actually delayed me from doing anything about it.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Elaine Sung, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to coming down and seeing your little practice,
my very little practice
down in Doctors of South Melbourne. Who knows, maybe you'll need to expand one day.
Well, we can always hope. Thank you very much.